Okay. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council SB 823 Subcommittee. I don't think these titles can get any longer. For April 29th, 2021. I'm going to have to do a quick roll call here, but I do want to apologize to the group for last week. We had an over, I don't know what happened there. We had Zoom, and we had too many things going at once, and we had to bring you all on and say, can we talk to you next week? So I apologize. We will not do that forward in the best part I can to avoid that happening. But with this time, because it is a Zoom meeting, I do need to do a roll call of who's present, and then we'll go to our agenda. So first of all, again, Steve Sentman, the chair of the committee. I have Lynn Garrett.
I'm here.
Steve Kim. Judge Motoreke.
Here.
Thank you. Raymond Sanchez.
I think he's an attendee. Hold on, let me unmute him.
Okay.
Hold on.
I'm here.
Oh, perfect, thank you.
And Steve Kim's trying to log on as well.
Okay. Raymond, I got you. As soon as I see Steve Kim, I'll come back, okay? Don Smith, I see you. Don?
Yeah, I am here, thank you.
Don, appreciate that. Kim Doyle?
Here, thank you.
Thank you, Laura Jose? Megan Medlin?
Here.
Thank you. Nasley, step up. Ken
here. Present.
Thank you, Ken. Okay. So did we say Steve Kim? Can you see Jamie Peace?
I don't see him.
Coming in the parking lot, coming through the lobby. I don't know what we can see.
I just resent him the link. He just texted me.
Okay. I'll give it just a second here. I'm really trying to be in the interest of time. There we go. Raymond, we see you. Okay. Good to see you. Laura?
I see Laura trying to get in.
Yeah. So we're doing roll call here. Laura, Jose, I see you there. Yes?
Yeah, thank you. It took me a minute to get on.
No problem, Laura. Thank you.
Yeah. And is that Steve Kim that says Megan Medlin?
There he is. How could we, it says that is the artist formerly known as.
I'm going to rename you.
Megan. Can you guys handle two Megans?
Okay, Steve Kim, I know that's you. Can you please say you're here?
There you go. I renamed him.
Thank you. That's a good test. That's a good Zoom test. Use your correct name. Okay, again, for those that just jumped on, I want to apologize for last week coming on quickly. We were probably excited to have some discussion today. We weren't going to meet, so I apologize for that. These Zoom calls are never easy, but nevertheless, here we are today, so I just want to welcome each of you. If you look at our agenda here, I want to set a future meeting, couple of questions. I wanted to kind of do an overview for you, what I'm aware of. I do sit on numerous statewide committees as it relates to SB 823. I was actually at the table with some of the architects of SB 823, and I'm also the president of the Probation Chiefs of California. So I do have some of the information that'll hopefully help us as we move forward. And then I know I'm also aware of, and I put in here subcommittee, but I know that we have some work groups, and I just wanted to get those identified, and I want to use our next meeting to really talk about what all of you have been working on. Judge, I know you have a work group, so there's different work groups there, and I think it's real important. Overall, I would tell you my general feeling as it relates to SB 823 is we have a good solid foundation. I think we just need to identify what we have, enhance and build upon what's working, and clearly identify any gaps that we may have for the youth and young adults forward that we serve. So I'm going to go right to item number two, is a discussion approval for future subcommittee meetings. I did intend to have a meeting set for May 17th from 1:30 to 4:30. What I'm looking for, and I want to hear from the group too, is that we all have a lot of meetings, and I understand that. I think sometimes if you can just get a good chunk of time, we can probably address if today we kind of set the agenda or set the menu for what we want to accomplish on May 17th. So at this time, I would ask for, I'm going to go ahead and make the motion that our next meeting would be set for Monday, May 17th from 1:30 to 4:30. More than likely, that will be a Zoom meeting. We're not quite in person yet. Hopefully to the future we will be. And so I would be looking for a second for May 17th 1:30 to 4:30 meeting.
I'll second. Megan.
Thank you, Megan. I'm sorry, I got to look up at the square. I think I would know your voice. So I appreciate that. So we've got a motion and a second. Is there any discussion related to that piece of item number two?
Can I ask how frequently this will be meeting? I have a standing 2 o'clock on Monday, so I could miss a couple of them, but if this was a weekly meeting, I'm gonna have a problem.
You know, it's tough to have weekly meetings. I'm really hoping May 17th, I'm gonna set some of the things, we can get those addressed. We might see that we don't need to meet, but bi-weekly, maybe once a month. We have to have a plan, although there's nowhere to set the plan. The official plan that goes to the state for the OYCR, which is the Office of Youth and Community Restoration, is not really due till July of 2022. But the big step we have is we have our committee identified. So you folks are the committee. And now we need to get that foundation built for the plan. And then this next year, between now and next July, I have a feeling that plan, because there's so many unknowns, but more importantly is we'll probably want to build upon that. And when we send that plan to the OYCR, again, the Office of Youth and Community Restoration, I'm going to imagine that plan is going to look quite a bit different this year than it'll look next year, because we don't know. Some things we don't know what we don't know, but we'll know what we need to build upon. So to answer your question, Lynn, that was a way out answer. If we can start with May 17th with you, and we'll go from there.
That's fine.
Fair enough. Okay. So I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion with the May 17th meeting?
And then I had just one question to clarify. So what you're saying in response to Lynn is that right now our meeting is May 17th. It may not always be on Mondays. It may not always be for a three-hour block, but we'll determine the next meeting maybe each time we meet, and then identify designees if we need them at that point in time.
That's going to be my second part of this, Dawn. So to answer your first part, I figure we get a good three-hour time together as a group. We may be able to accomplish, I'm very optimistic about all of you and all of us. So we may accomplish a big part we need, and maybe we just need a couple of follow-ups. I'm not sure. Every county is doing this 58 different ways. So I apologize that it seems to be a little bit not as structured as we're all used to, but I think we'll get there if I can kind of set the date for us. Okay. So I've got, again, a first and a second. Any further discussion just for the meeting for May 17th? Okay, and I have to do everything on a roll call.
You also need to ask for public comments before you vote.
There we go. And I also need to ask for public comments before I vote. Fortunately, I just had Jamie on a call before this one. So are there any public comments, Jamie, please?
If anybody wishes to speak on this item, if they could hit *9 or the Zoom, or the, I'm sorry, the hand raise icon on the Zoom app. Nope, no requests.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, so I'll do a quick roll call vote. Steve Sentman, yes. Lynn Garrett?
Yes.
Thank you. Steve Kim?
Yes.
Thank you. Judge Modrecki?
Yes.
I saw that thumbs up. We'll take it. Raymond Sanchez?
Yes.
Thank you, Raymond. Don Smith?
Yes.
Thank you. Kimberly Doyle?
Yes.
Thank you. Laura Jose?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Megan Madeline?
Yes.
Thank you, Megan. Nazli Restrepo?
Yes.
And Ken Santini?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Now the second part is, and Dawn, thank you. You already read my agenda here quicker, is do we feel the need for a designee or an alternate? At this time, I don't see this being an extensive long-term, but I think that should be part of our consideration if we feel that, I would like a designee for myself. It's hard to tell. After May 17th, we may know more, and if you'd like, I'd be more than happy to carry that item over as we talk about many things, the need for that. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'll make a motion, look for a second. We have some discussion, and maybe we don't need it, but we got to start with that part first, and before we get the motion second, then we get public comments again, right, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I'll make the motion for designee and or alternate consideration for the SB 2823 subcommittee.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, Are there any public comments this evening?
Actually, you already asked for public comments because we're still on the same item, so it's fine.
Gotcha. Okay, is there any discussion? And again, I think May 17th we'll get a better feel. If we feel that we need that, I get it. I know I have Daniel on this call. There's others that get on the call, and we can open that up if we need to. But right now, I'm really confident that after the 17th, we'll have a better grasp of where we're at and a good foundation or a good structure of where we need to be. So I will take a, so will we need a vote, Jamie? I'm sorry.
If you want to establish that you maybe will want alternates in the future, you can vote on this, and then you can just state your alternate at another time.
Okay, just state the alternate another time. So this time, so we've got a first and a second. Let's go ahead and take a vote on that, and we can leave that open forward. I think we'll know more after May 17th. Or can we just put it on the agenda, Jamie, for
sure,
May 17th?
That's fine, too, yeah.
How about we do that? We'll put it on the agenda, and I will pull my motion.
Okay.
Then are you okay with taking away your second?
I am.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, so item number three is an overview, kind of some time frames in our county response. And if you can bear with me here, I just want to go over with some of the general items as I'm aware, and it also can create some questions. So overview of 823, there's a purpose and intent. There's a state level response. There's a county response, as well as the timelines of where we're at. Back on February 23rd, we established this committee. So that was part of SB 823, specifically 1995 of the Welfare Institution Code, that we had to establish the committee that we have. Many of you sit on me with me with the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, but this is the subcommittee that SB 823 set forward. And the primary focus for this committee is, first and foremost, is to remember that DJJ services currently, up until July 1st of this year, services high-need youth that have committed serious and violent offenses, specifically 707D, and now counties will have that responsibility. And again, I'm simplifying a very complex process in that the youth that we will be addressing forward, none of us are naive to understand the high needs for these youth, as well as the potential risk that we'll need to work on. And the next is the intention statewide is they identified some of the different populations. Our population in DJJ is quite low. So at this point, I don't necessarily see there will be potential return. There are some counties that do have return. I would call them young adults at this time. But youth have been committed to DJJ possibly returning. The subcommittee, again, works on its realignment plan. The expectations will be submitted to the Office of Youth and Community Restoration. This office doesn't even exist. I don't even know if they've identified a budget, as I'm aware, statewide. But for July of 2022, we here in the county will be submitting our plan to them for their review. Overall, the plans to include the facilities that we intend to use, the programs, placement services, supervision, and reentry strategies needed to provide the appropriate rehabilitation and supervision services for the youth that we would have. And I'll talk a little bit about Secure Track because that's the name of it. Again, intake DJJ will stop July 1st, 2021. That does not mean that youth that may have been committed prior would not still go there, but their intake overall will stop. So they're taking youth up until that time. The creation of the Office of Youth and Community Restoration, and I'll refer to it later on as the OYCR, they are going to take some of the different activities that currently BSCC, the Board of State and Community Corrections, does. But the main thing at this point is they will have each county's plan as they move forward. Again, as I said, on February 23rd, the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council subcommittee did create, or the former committee did create our subcommittee. We've moved that forward. The local plans, just so you know, here for our Board of Supervisors, they do not have to have any approval over the plan. They just need to, our Board of Supervisors are just required to review and ensure that the plan is meeting the needs as set by the Office of Youth and Community Restoration. The funding implementation that will begin, I'll just give you roughly the numbers that will be coming to the County of Orange. For fiscal year 2021-22, it's $2.2 million. For fiscal year 22-23, it's a little over $6.6 million. And fiscal year 23-24, it's $11 million. And when you look at those numbers, that's going to give us a lot of resources that we don't often have in the county, meaning on the financial side. And we're just going to need to be really aware of what we'll be able to provide for our youth. The potentially DJJ may have been provided, but more importantly, I think we need to look to enhance, because ultimately our goal and focus is to build that capacity in these young people to ensure that they can make it into the community once they are released. Another second part of the state is the BSCC is providing a $9.6 million regional youth program facility grant program. Half of that money does go to a regional type setting for some of the northern counties. They are working on that. We have, we'll be submitting our application for a facility grant opportunity, and each county will get a level of funding. I believe it's $150,000. Which isn't much money, but it will assist in a couple of areas we're looking at. One of them is part of an infrastructure and looking at the Youth Leadership Academy, looking at some of the areas there. We need to enhance some of the security areas. A second point we're looking at, and I believe it's called our Restorative Circles programming. So we're also going to submit a piece of programming that we'd like to enhance. And thirdly is when you think about down the road, our youth will be in and out of our facilities, and the ability to control contraband will be very important. And they do make a particular type of equipment that will assist ensuring that we keep our facilities safe for the youth that are there. And as we move forward and if youth are coming in and out of facilities, I do have a concern where we just want to make sure we mitigate and or deter contraband coming back into our facilities. So we're trying to cover all three areas, not just say we're going to put up a big fence. There's a programming piece, and then there's a security piece. So we're looking at all three areas as it relates to that. Let's see here. I just want to build upon the plans that we have in a little more detail. The definition that I gave you is actually what came from the language from SB 823. But when we do look at the infrastructure of our facilities, just as important as the programs, placement, services, and supervision. I think it would be very important for us to ensure that we enhance services for mental health. We do often, or not often, but we do at times can get a sex offender type treatment type program, gender-based, meaning we don't get too many female youth that come into our custody, but if they did, making sure we had the right programming for them. Obviously addressing trauma-based needs and adolescent needs. I think we do a very good job here in the county, but these are all areas to improve upon family engagement. Reentry planning is something clearly, you know, you don't want just a youth released and say go out there and wish you the best of luck. And our good friends here from Project Kinship understand when it talks about reentry and how important that piece is for people to be successful in the community. And then just as important, and I think, again, we're building upon this in our county, the inclusion of non-governmental and community-based organizations to assist. It's interesting when you think back now, and I don't want Judge Malviki to laugh at me, but I just, in January, celebrated my 35th year with the probation department. I was quite young when I started, but here we are. And when I look at what we did 35 years ago in the mid-80s, I think, really, we did. We just tell the youth to go out to the community. They were there to make it. But when I look back over the years and how important the community is, meaning that our youth start in the community and all the different aspects of the community, how important it is if we create the programs within our facilities and the youth is on track, how do we ensure that that transition and relates back to the community so they don't fall back where they were before? How important it is to empower our parents. We're very fortunate to have one program, Padres Unidos, is very good at educating and empowering our parents. So when these youth and young adults come back, that it's not just the youth that has to make those changes, but we need to make those changes in the community as we move forward. Was there any questions so far? I just want to take a sip of iced tea. So I had another meeting before this one. I've already been doing a lot of chat. So. Okay. All right. I appreciate that. So we talked about DJJ. Now, when I did the PowerPoint here that I'm reviewing, there wasn't a final closure date, but I think they are looking at July of 2023 for a final closure. You know, and interesting, as I talked to all the chiefs across the state, we are not, and this is, I apologize if it doesn't sound like the right tune, but we're not a big user or consumer of DJJ. But nevertheless, we do have the type of youth that could be committed. And it's going to be real important that we give every option to our bench for Judge Moroike and the other judges, as well as our district attorney and public defender, to know that if a youth is in fact committed to the Secure Track program, that we're addressing not only what the SB 23 says, but even the enhanced pieces that I spoke to, because we do want success from these young adults. It's real, written in the law too, is not any net widening or creating an environment where more youth get moved into the adult system. It's truly, I think when the governor and his staff, as I remember listening to him, they firmly believe, and I do too, that locally we can do it better. I look at the team of people that are on the Zoom call today. We all have every different aspect when it comes to juvenile justice, and I firmly believe we can do it better. Now we're going to have some financial resources to assist us, but it's going to take this team to ensure that we fill those gaps. I look right at, you know, at Don Smith and Healthcare Agency, and I will tell you, Don, right now, something to think about. I think we have somewhat of a reactive approach to mental health, and I would look to see how can we be proactive, where we have that therapist-type person working daily with the youth, not just responding. That's important, too. I'm not taking away from that, but working along the way so maybe we don't get to that point where the youth needs a reaction. Let me make sure I covered. I'm trying to get the wheel spinning when we get together on May 17th, some of the areas that we'll want to cover. Now, Judge Moroike, I heard through the grapevine, and the person is on the call here with me today, that SB 92, correct, is going to be the secure track language. And I know you're probably involved in your statewide association as it relates to SB 92. One thing that I've kind of gleaned from the different information that a youth to be in the Secure Track program, they do need to be adjudicated for the 707B offense. And then the disposition may change along the way because you can put them in Secure Track or a less restrictive environment. There's a couple of different stages for the bench to have. But I had heard, and whether you had thought this, I thought too, is that, you know, if a youth is brought into our care and custody for that type of offense, could they start the programming at that point? But the court has to make that decision, as I understand, before the youth can be placed into the Secure Track program. And I just wanted to know if you knew that. And I've actually sat on a few committee calls with your statewide association too. And that's what I understood.
Chief, but I think we were talking about just eligibility as far as the programs and services, whether it was just supposed to be geared towards the specific population that was adjudicated in the Secure Track, or whether eligibility meant all of our 707 youth, whether or not they would have been committed to Secure Track, whether they're going to be eligible for the services and programming. And that's where I think I'm hearing that's a little bit broader, in that eligibility is just if you have a 707 allegation and you're eligible for potentially would have been a commitment to DJJ, that you should then still be provided the services, even though you're not committed actually to the Secure Track.
Okay. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do is lean on the May revise and the cleanup legislation from SB 92 to verify that. But to your point, you know, I just want to make sure that that we do offer to each youth that's eligible. I think that term eligible is a tough one, but, you know, I'll rely upon the bench to, you know, form how that decision's made, and it's our job as this committee and this group to put the best program forward. Because I think there's a lot of options within the secure track, but it sounds to me like the court has to make, you know, whether the youth and with my two attorneys on the line here, well, three attorneys with the judge too, you know, are they adjudicated for the 707 the offense, but the actual disposition doesn't occur because I'm going to put you in secure track, and then I'm going to check with you every 6 months, and we'll decide further down the road what happens. And I think some of those things are being worked out with your statewide right. association, but and I just want you to know that I'm aware of what some of the considerations you were.
Okay. Concerned. Yeah, and then just to add to your list, there's another trailer bill, AB 87, that is also out there.
Okay.
Because, you know, SB 823 just wasn't the end-all, be-all for everything, obviously.
Well, and if I can use this analogy, I think we launched and saw a desired outcome, and then we backed it up and we found all of these unintended consequences. And ultimately, I think we all can be in agreement that we want the best for success for these folks, for these kids. But there were some pieces along the way that the bench needs, that we need as practitioners and operators in this space, as they say. So, okay. Any questions of anything that I brought forward? I got you, Kim. Go ahead.
Yeah, just really briefly, I did send this over to Judge Motoiti. I think it's a section we should all look at for the purposes okay. of that discussion. And it's 1990B of the Welfare and Institution Code. And it specifically says eligible and shall be adjudicated to be a ward to fall under that block grant. So that's my concern, is that's the language in there. So I think that we need to focus maybe on that if we're thinking about treatment and funding and whatever the judges, we all are in discussion of the eligibility versus whether or not they're adjudicated as a 707. So that's a perfect section that defines that.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, how about from some of our community folks that aren't working in this every day, but you're just as important. Anything that I could, Steve or Raymond or Heather or Megan, some of the things I brought up there, I see you nodding your heads, so I think conceptually you guys all get it. We've all worked in Nousley too. I'm sorry, you're up here in the top square here. Conceptually, we all understand. It's just how, you know, I'm convinced that foundationally we have a big part of this done. We're just going to have the ability now to enhance, improve, and replicate for what we need to even make it better. And that's really what I'm hoping for May 17th is, Judge, I'd like to hear what your group is discussing and the pieces you have. And I know Daniel has set on a group with some staffing. And I'll do my best to bring a statewide perspective. And then what we all hear from the different areas we operate in. I've known Steve for years, and I know that within Project Kinship, when you talk reentry and transitional services, you know, at times you may feel limited, but now maybe this opens, you know, to much more. And then I already brought to Dawn, you know, sometimes we get in a position where we have to kind of react to behaviors, and how can we be proactive? And you have the other day I said psych tech. I don't even know if that's even a term anymore. But more importantly, is you have that person on the team working with the youth at the facility and the probation staff there, as well as we bring our community partners in. It becomes more of that wraparound concept, more than just reacting when something goes bad. We're addressing it sooner. So just to give you a couple of quick numbers, what I saw this morning or this afternoon is we currently have 32 youth. And of them, only 7 at this time are pending 707 hearings. But what I'm looking at, potentially we have a population of about 32 youth with the type of offenses potentially that we'll be dealing with. So, you know, not a large group, thank goodness, but more importantly, the needs are there. Whether you have one youth or you have 32 youth, the need's there. And I don't need to tell any of you that. So reach into the choir of what folks need. And I think it'll be real important May 17th to not only know what we already have, and that's what I'm going to ask of Daniel and our staff, but what we have. There is a kind of a statewide template that I will bring that kind of lets us plug in. the different areas that we want to do, but more importantly is what will we need to build upon for the future. When you sit in these administration positions, you're not as connected to the youth each and every day, but I still believe I keep enough connection, whether walking around through Juvenile Hall and reading reports or talking with my staff or meeting you folks in other meetings. Each youth we have, the concern I have is we want to make them better than the day they came in. And I'll tell you another concern that I have is we don't get too many female young ladies that come into our programs that would fall into this, but what happens when we do get that one girl, two girls that come in? There are some discussions that potentially some of our neighboring counties may have a female-specific program, but we want to think about what that means. Would the bench be comfortable, say, I'm going to commit you over to county whatever for a period of time, then I want you to come back to Orange County, and then we work on your transition out. I mean, these are the kind of things that I want to discuss on May 17th, because there is a, if you look at these 32 youth, there's probably a general theme of why those youth are with us, but we're going to get those type of youth too that are very unique and their needs are quite high. The mental health piece is, we've watched it explode and grow, and the sooner we can deal with youth and address their mental health needs, they don't grow into, you know, long-term diagnosis and problems with youth we have. And I know often the bench gets put in a position, you know, the competency of some of the youth that we're dealing with as we move forward. So that was pretty much what I wanted to cover on item number three, to kind of give a statewide overview. I'm going to look to get some packets. It'd be so much easier to meet in person, but we'll do the best we can with Zoom. But what I'm asking is each of you in your space, so from the district attorney and the public defender and the judge, what they see and what options they would look for, to our community members, as well as social services and healthcare. We're fortunate in this county as we have the relationships and we work to do what's best for youth, but we're really going to need to put that down on a piece of paper and have a plan. So any input from, again, I don't want to run the whole meeting, but I don't want to keep us here too long either. I just want to kind of build some concepts for May 17th and where we're at.
Steve, I appreciate you to mention where we're at with the this is Daniel, by the way.
Yeah, Daniel. I see your
with that kind of draft proposal that you kind of referred to. You want me to kind of bring everybody up to speed on that?
Yeah. I mean, Daniel, if you could do that, just so then maybe Raymond and Steve, you could look at, okay, here's what we have, and Don, you could say, here's what we have, just in the space that you folks, the services you would bring, Lynn, what you'd bring in the Department of Education. We've got a great relationship. You guys are already building for the future for these type of youth, I'm aware of. But go ahead, Daniel, if you want to share a little bit.
So since January or February, when we were starting to get up to speed with what was what this timeline was looking like and things like that, we assembled several groups of line staff and supervisors in the juvenile facilities to just kind of brainstorm some ideas of what the Secure Track program could include or could entail. And that we're looking at a lot of facility-based things like staffing and things like that, but we also looked at training for staff, but then even broader, what programming might be offered that isn't offered currently, and also reentry planning that isn't offered currently. So the goal was to just put together, again, have as many brains as we could in the room and put some ideas together as kind of a jumping off point. And so those proposals have been compiled, and we're receiving additional feedback on those. And the goal is to have that plan, or it's a proposal really, nothing in stone. It's the true plan and proposal will come from this subcommittee, but just to have an idea, some ideas on paper that to generate conversation so that this group doesn't have to start with a completely blank slate. So a lot of ideas have been compiled, and the idea is that proposal will be agendized so everyone can have it for the May 17th meeting. So that may help make that a productive meeting if that's going to be a long one. So,
Chief, could I just add something? Because we've all, as part of our kind of a juvenile, our our task force that we've been talking about services for. We've all kind of got a preview of the rough draft of Daniel's group through probation. And is there a possible way for this group to get that before the May 17th date? Because it would be nice, especially for our community providers, to be able to look at that and really have a meaningful discussion, because there's a good portion of input there, proposals, with respect to the facilities and the services and programs that probation offers. But I think the community providers can really assist with kind of like identifying gaps or additional services and programmings that we can speak about. And I think it might be a more productive meeting if we could kind of all take a gander at that proposal beforehand. Because especially through YDC, I know that Project Kinship and a lot of our community providers are really seeing gaps and what these young people need, who are this eligible population. So, you know, I think it would be helpful, because it's a meaty document. I mean, it's a great shot, first draft of the proposals and the ideas, and I really think it gets people talking. I mean, you know, Kim and Dawn, and I know that Lynn, we're all part of that group, Laura, and we really had a meaningful discussion about it. But I think it would be helpful because the community providers can really kind of digest it and go over it and identify additional gaps and additional services and programming if they have that before the meeting. Just a thought. And then, sorry, you're on mute, which is the phrase of the year. But
there we go.
One more thing. There's also, I think, some good programming that's going on right now at DJJ. You know, those licensing programs and things like that. I think it might be worthwhile for us to also take a look at the services that are being offered there, because there are some good services. I mean, they've got coding certificate programs, the forklift licensing, which I always keep on talking about. You know, there's some good programs that they have there that I think we should look at least in trying to identify additional services for this population.
And Judge, I totally agree. Again, over the years and many things we've worked on, I've watched some counties up and down the state that are starting with a blank slate, and I don't think we have that. I think we have to identify what we have, what's working, and what we need. I have a quick question, Jamie, for you. If we get Daniel's plan to use that, so that would need to be put on the agenda to hand it to the group so that the public would have access to, so that's only like a week out, or?
Yeah, I can post it with the agenda. I was actually just looking at the calendar when you guys were talking as to when I would post the agenda. Most likely, I can post it by like Tuesday the 11th, or if it's ready sooner than that, I can do it sooner than that. It doesn't matter.
Okay. And thank you, Jamie. And also, Judge, to your question on DJJ programs, I've been getting information from them, and I can put that as an attachment too, because I think the more information we have, you know, you bring up a great point. I was thinking of the different work groups we have. We have the countywide integrated services that's occurring, and there's a piece there that A23 falls in. You have YDC Court. You have, I always find this interesting to say YAC Court, but Young Adult Court. You look at just those areas we're talking about now, which tells me we've got, you know, we're already doing some of this work, and I don't want to take our time and reinvent the wheel, but I really want to build upon what's been identified there. So if we can get, we'll have Daniel's outline or program or draft proposal they have. I will look to get whatever the DJJ program, I think they sent us what programs they have, and I'll just make that as an attachment. Public information. That will start our discussions, because I agree, for Nasley, Heather, Megan, and Raymond, and Steve, it's going to be real important. They know what they have to provide, but they have to see what our kind of our foundation is that we have now, and how not only what we need to identify to build upon, but how do we insert that in, and how do we make that part of the day. So
the draft will be ready to be posted on May 11th. It's ready now. Obviously, the more time we have, the more input we can continue to add to it, so it can be posted. It's ready to be submitted to you, Jamie, at any time. And it also has been modified and cleaned up and added the feedback from Judge Moriguez's group already. So So yeah, I can, it'll definitely be ready for the 11th if that's sufficient for our collaborative partners to come over and review it.
So Heather or Nazli, I would just ask you folks, if you have a week and a couple of days, does that give you at least some time to kind of take a look? We'll have more discussion about it, but at least give you an idea.
I was just going to say, if I may, it helps me organize a little bit as far as how we target problems in our community. And for me, one of the things that I appreciate that you had mentioned in a previous meeting, Steve, was the logic model. And I feel that, I hope that the information that is being presented is that we're targeting a problem and we're talking about what those problems are. Because that's what I would want to know. I would want, what's the targeted problem that we're looking at? What's the community needs? Because what we're asking for is a community assessment. That's what I'm hearing what Daniel's providing, for, right? What's happening already? What are the activities? And also, what are the outcome measures? What are the outputs? I would like to see those outcome measures, because it's great that we're assessing the need, but at the same time, how do we know that's being the most effective? And I think that's where the heart of the issue is for me. So I would definitely want to make sure that outcomes are presented, as well as who has been assessed. So Daniel's presentation for the plan, you know, where consumers provided input on it. Do we get everybody? You know, I know we have CBOs here who are working as providers, but I'm wondering if we need to have consumers who are actually in it to actually provide feedback with that as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. There were some youth who have been to DJJ and returned who were consulted. However, it is by definition not complete. So yeah, it's just a starting point. And I don't want to mislead anyone that it is comprehensive. So it is really from a facility perspective. There are some recommendations for evidence-based programs that are already established and things like that that we know of, but there's some that we don't do. So we don't have outcomes yet and things like that, but suggestions for things that we know have been done other places that would likely be good programs. But yeah, it's really just a starting point.
Nazli, I think you bring up a great point and something we as the system could be so much better about. We do need to talk to the youth that either have past experience, or we need to talk to folks in the community that can assist us too. I can tell you statewide, there is a big desire not to replicate DJJ, but what to Judge Marika said, they did have some good programs there. They really had some areas that we either have, we can build upon or replicate here in Orange County. And we don't want to push that aside. But I think the desire overwhelmed from the different folks, some are advocates and some are from the governor's administration, is they don't want 58 DJJs throughout. But more importantly, you make sure we're addressing, to your point now, it's like, not only, you know, youth come to the facility, but when they go back to the community, there's got to be some skill sets built into these young people so that they can be successful. Because eventually, we don't want them to have to be with us, more importantly. They may have a longer relationship with the folks in the community, but eventually they have to stand on their own 2 feet, for lack of a better word. And that's really, I think, that desired outcome way over here. But realistically, we have to understand there's a lot of work that will need to be done. So I also just saw our Assistant Chief Brian Prado jumped on, so thank you, Brian, for jumping on too. I just want to make sure if there's any input at your point you've kind of got here as we're kind of getting ready for May 17th, but as anything, you know, you've ran integrated services, different programs, and if you're going to speak, Judge Mariki is going to remind you that you need to unmute yourself.
Thank you, Chief, and it's a pleasure for me to be with you all this afternoon. I am looking forward to how this develops, and Nazli, to your point, I jumped on board when you talked about kind of the usage of tools like a logic model. I think it is important not only to relook at our current system, but how we can use feedback, certainly from the youth who would benefit from our service delivery, to get their feedback so that we can enhance upon our services. I think that'll be great. And that's it. Thank you, sir.
All right. So as we near the, I just want to make sure if there's any further comments. I do want to put that we will put an agenda together. At this point, Daniel appears to have a framework that we can build upon. I'm going to get the list of DJJ programs so we can get those to Jamie so those can be posted and to you folks. And then I think we just come May 17th, and I understand the logic model, but I'm not nearly an expert. So when I have Nazli and folks like that that remind me of that. I would ask a little guidance with just to help us with that, because we do want to be, I tell you what, in my personal opinion, out of 58 counties, I want to be the best. I want to be the best in what we have, and I think we've got the team of people to do it. So, any other comments? I get excited when a meeting gets done less than an
last
hour's time.
Steve, just to reemphasize after Nazli's comments too, I just want to make it clear that what we're providing is really a collection of ideas. It's not the probation department's proposal that we are pushing or anything like that. It can be completely dissected and changed, and it really is just to again see what we already have and collect some ideas from a variety of people as to what could be used. But you're going to see it's extremely robust, and we probably couldn't do it all. So, but there's some good ideas in there, and so it's just a place to start from.
Thank you, Daniel. I think that's really great, and I think that's part of the first step when you address community issues, right? Is to find out what are the needs and what are the gaps, right? So, we're definitely doing that first step, and that's kind of what the logic model does say. There's a problem statement. We know what the problem is, so now we need to start identifying what are we doing, and I think that's collectively, I think we all should start bringing in what are we doing towards this population, you know, so that we can really get a landscape of what's happening, and then start identifying the gaps, which I appreciate Judge Mordorecki identifying, is that there are gaps, and so once we find those gaps, then we start identifying what are the interventions, what are the best interventions, the activities that we know that can tackle those issues, and that's where we need feedback from everyone. So I really appreciate the feedback, and I'm glad to see that this is the direction that it's going.
Thank you, Nazli. And then Ken over there, I want to draw social services in too. You guys have an expertise, maybe not on the delinquent side and dealing with youth and families, but clearly you bring to the table a variety of great ideas and resources. So I would ask the same of you, is like, you know, does this young person know that they can sign up for this to assist them? And I know that you have the list of things. I don't want to speak for you, but I want to make sure that you're a big part of this too.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
And
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
I was just going to apologize. Something's going on with the Wi-Fi here, and it keeps cutting in and out. So if you see me fading in and out, that's why.
Okay, Ken. All right. And Laura Jose, you've been somewhat quiet. And usually the public defender's office is not quiet. I just wanted to make sure you're good and
I have no resources, so I'm good.
Okay. Well, actually, you do. You're a big part of this team too, as well as in the squares is Kim Doyle there. So because again, these youth stand before you. One represents and one has the prosecution side. But it's so important that again we get the best outcome, because as they say, locally we can do better. Just look at the numbers we have. We don't have many youth in DJJ, which is a good thing. There are some counties that are bringing 40, 60, 80 kids back. That would be an overwhelming process to not just repeat what's already been done. And I think we have a really good time now that we have one youth, or we've got 20 youth, that we've got the best services possible that we can continue to build upon into the future, because the needs of youth will change. To Nazli's point, the needs in the community will change. And we have to have those open discussions, not a one size fit all, but more importantly, individualized for the youth board. So, okay. Jamie's looking at me like, okay, you've covered
well,
it. No more public comments?
I was trying to remember if we've asked for public comments on this item. I don't think we did.
Okay, so item number four?
Item three.
Okay. Item number three, are there any public comments?
Yeah, if anybody wishes to speak for item number three, if you can hit *9 on your phone or the hand raise icon. No, I don't see anybody for item three.
And item number four?
Okay, and if anybody wishes to speak on item four, they can hit *9 or the hand raise icon. And I don't see anybody for that either.
Okay, and how about for the committee here? Anything that we can, again, I think I'm really looking forward to May 17th. Won't feel so rushed for time. We'll have kind of a shell of an area we want to work in, and we start moving forward from there. Judge, you good? Dropped her picture off there.
Sorry, yes, I'm good. Thanks.
All right, Judge, just making sure. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Again, I apologize for last week. Unfortunately, those that were on that call, we just completed that call. We're not back again on that meeting until July 22nd. So we were able to accomplish some good things for you there. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you on
May 17th. Hold on.
Sorry.
We do have general public comments on the agenda as well.
So we have to call for that. Are there any general public comments?
So general public comments. Hit star 9 on your phone or the hand raise icon, please. Nope, nobody.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so May 17th at 1:30, it will be Zoom. We will have a few attachments that we've agreed to put on here. And again, just thank you, everybody. I think we've got some great things to be working on board, and I appreciate all of your time. Thank you.